From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we commence a series of studies in the Law of God. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Exceeding great and precious promises. If you would know experimentally the preciousness of the promises and enjoy them in your own heart, meditate much upon them. There are promises which are like grapes in the winepress. If you tread them, the juice will flow. Thinking over the hallowed words will often be the prelude to their fulfillment. While you are musing upon them, the boon which you are seeking will insensibly come to you. Many a Christian who has thirsted for the promise has found the favor which it ensured gently distilling into his soul, even while he's been considering the divine record, and he has rejoiced that ever he was led to lay the promise near his heart. But besides meditating upon the promises, seek in thy soul to receive them as being the very words of God. Speak to thy soul thus: If I were dealing with a man's promise, I should carefully consider the ability and the character of the man who had covenanted with me. So with the promise of God. My eye must not be so much fixed upon the greatness of the mercy, that may stagger me, as upon the greatness of the promiser, that will cheer me. My soul, it is God, even thy God, God that cannot lie, who speaks to thee. This word of His which thou art now considering is as true as His own existence. He is a God unchangeable. He has not altered the thing which has gone out of His mouth, nor called back one single consolatory sentence. Nor doth He lack any power. It is the God who made the heavens and the earth who has spoken thus. Nor can He fail in wisdom as to the time when He will bestow the favors, for He knoweth when it is best to give and when better to withhold. Therefore, seeing that it is the word of a God so true, so immutable, so powerful, so wise, I will and must believe the promise. If we thus meditate upon the promises and consider the promiser, we shall experience their sweetness and obtain their fulfillment.
Our hope for years to come, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and our eternal home. O God, our help in ages past, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense.
in order stood. Or earth received her frame, or earth received her frame from everlasting. Thou art God, to endless years the same, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while our march shall last. O God, our help, our hope, and our eternal hope. O God, our help in ages past, for years to come.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences a series of messages on the law of God, a vital subject for both saved and unsaved. Indeed, this is a subject about which there is a great deal of misunderstanding. There are those who think that the law of God has no place in the life of a Christian. Others labor under the delusion that they can be saved by their efforts to keep the law. What does the Bible really have to say about God's law? In introducing this series, Dr. Cairns deals first with the reasons why God gave the law. In the course of this message, we'll see that ignorance of or disregard for God's law has resulted in a sad state of affairs in the church as well as in society as a whole. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
Tonight our text is found in the form of a very brief question. posed by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. The first line of the verse asks the question, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" You will notice that the "serveth" is italicized, so the question is even briefer and much more pointed. Wherefore then the law? I think it's a safe prediction that in this election season and in any other election season, such matters as crime and punishment will figure fairly largely, and well they may. You can't lift a newspaper nowadays or hear a news bulletin without realizing that across this nation we are being subjected to the story of spreading murder and mayhem. And all the indications are that it's getting constantly worse. Indeed, I heard the words of a professed expert, a statistician, who was charting the development of violent crime in America in the 1980s and 90s. And they said, on present trends, by the time we reach 2020, people will be looking back to the 1990s and describing them as the good old days, as far as public safety and such matters as violent crime are concerned. We certainly expect such things to figure in the national agenda. But in addition to crime, there's a host of moral issues that politicians would rather bury, but that nonetheless stir the passions of millions. And these form what I believe is the most important part of the agenda for the national debate. These are the perennial issues of abortion on demand, the scourge of illegitimacy across the cities of America, euthanasia, homosexuality, same-sex marriages, the role of religion in society, the emergence of spiritism, earth worship, and other parts of the New Age folly. These are an ongoing part of America's national debate. Now, the very fact that such things should even need to be debated, the very fact that they are on the agenda for debate, is in itself an indication that the moral foundations of the nation have already been seriously eroded and almost entirely demolished. Something of enormous significance has taken place in the last generation or two, and that is that the ultimate focus of all moral questions is now thoroughly secular and entirely humanistic. It used to be theistic and Christian. It used to be that there was a framework of moral authority in which we debated the issues that I have mentioned tonight. It used to be that there was an ultimate authority to which we could make our appeal. But that is no longer the case. Adrift on a sea of relativism, Americans are more and more reliving the disastrous situation that obtained in the days of the judges in Israel, when we are told there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I think that undoubtedly, when you look at America today, you can say that this great republic has not only shed the monarchy from the United Kingdom, but it has deliberately, for from the highest echelons of its society, the highest parts of its legislature and judiciary, it has deliberately set aside the sovereign authority of the King of Kings. Since there is no king in the country, every man is left to do that which is right in his own eyes. We find the same situation largely reproduced in the churches of the country. Too many churches nowadays see their role as reflecting the standards of the society around about them and justifying those standards by some vague biblical references or biblical ideas. Thus you will find some unctuous churchman any day of the week on radio or television, or you'll see his writings in some paper or production using such biblical terms as compassion, which is a beautiful word, a biblical word, a godlike word in its biblical connotation. But they will take this holy word and use it as an excuse to welcome almost any people and any practices, even the most wicked, into what they call the Christian community. Except, of course, those that stand condemned by the standards of the political correctness of this crazy age. So that compassion does not reach to those dangers to American well-being who read the Bible every day and believe it. But compassion says we will take every pervert, every twister, every liar, every cheat unreconstructed and say his place is among us in the church. Even in Bible-believing churches, in many ways this is the scariest proposition of all. In many Bible-believing churches, the most obvious and odious feature of the world today is all too often on proud display. By that, I mean the lack of any true fear of the Lord. Any indication of any overwhelming sense of awe at the greatness of God, who He is, what He says. When you go to church today, you find that there is an immense distance between what passes as Christianity, even in Bible-believing churches, so-called, and what is portrayed in the Word of God. The Scriptures speak to us in Ezra 10:3 of those that tremble at the commandment, underline and understand the words. Those that tremble at the commandment of our God. Indeed, the Scripture makes it clear that it addresses its message peculiarly to those people. Isaiah tells us in 66 verse 5 of his prophecy, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." Now let's be very honest. In how many churches is there a sense of fear, and I mean godly, reverential awe? In how many Christians is there a sense of this overwhelming greatness of God? The unspeakable holiness of God's commandment that causes our hearts to tremble before Him. We are happy to have church as religious entertainment. We're happy to have church as social interaction. But oh, where is the trembling in the presence of the thrice holy God of Israel? Yet God addresses His word to those that tremble. And furthermore, according to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4, only such are truly ready to meet their God. Understand what I'm saying. The fear of the Lord, Solomon tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. That does not necessarily or only indicate the first step of wisdom, though I think that's included. It is the head of wisdom. It is the chief part of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A man is a fool until he starts to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A man is bereft of that knowledge that is necessary to eternal life until he fears God. In Ezekiel 9:4, we have the Lord speaking to that heavenly being with the ink horn that's going around before the judgment would fall to mark out those who are safe. And they said, the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the midst of them. We have read tonight in Psalm 19 that the fear of the Lord is clean. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 8 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now put all this together and you will see that the absence of the fear of God, the absence of that trembling at the word and commandment of God, is very significant. It explains why and how gross sins are accepted in the church today. When God's fear is removed, when the holiness of God is not an overwhelming, heart-searching, soul-humbling reality, then men will feel that they can sin with impunity. The absence of the fear of God explains why there is a prevalence of glib, empty, meaningless professions of salvation in our churches, allied to lives that are unchanged, unclean, ungodly, and still under the condemnation of God. We have populated the fundamental churches of America with the products of an empty decision-making machine that has left their hearts in the darkness of an unregenerate state and left them comforting themselves that it is well with their souls when they yet have no fear of God. The absence of the fear of God will also warn us of the shocking judgment that Christ foreshadowed in the 7th chapter of Matthew. In many ways, some of the most terrible words in all the Bible. For these are not spoken to the products of a red communist machine. These are not spoken to the humanists and the agnostics. Oh, they'll get their judgment. But these are spoken to a Bible reading, prayer reciting, hymn singing, church attending people. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.